make some comments on losing a must-win game that I talked about after the game. Obviously, read a couple of those quotes and like to at least kind of give you my assessment of those quotes. I said, obviously, very disappointing. A must-win game is a game that gives you a chance to play for a playoff spot. At midway point, when you're 3-5, it's going to be a must-win to get in the hunt. When you lose a game like that, now you're playing to see who obviously is going to be on your football team for years to come. You know, the first thing that, you know, it's very tough to go through that type of adversity when you lose a game like that. Everybody puts so much into it. It's very tough, you know, to lose a game like that because you put everything that you have into that game. And adversity does strike, and you want to see how your guys handle that adversity. You know, when you talk about your backs being up against the wall and those type things, what you're looking for is guys this week, each game that we have, the remaining seven games we have, each game is kind of like a playoff game. And what you want to do is see how your players respond. I don't care if it's a first-year player, a second-year player, a five-year player, a 10-year player, a 15-year player. It really doesn't matter. We will see how they play from now on through the rest of the season. And we better get their best shot because they'll be evaluated every game. And I expect this football team to really step up and play at a very high level. We've made a number of cuts over the last couple of years to get these type of guys. I think our players respond the right way. Then the last part of that quote was, now we have a chance to evaluate players and see where we're at. That'll be done, you know, during the bye week. We will evaluate our coaches, our players, schemes over the next 4 or 5 days. Make sure that going into the last seven games with five teams in the NFC East, two in the AFC, that we give our football team the best chance to win. Not very often do you have seven games left where you have five in the NFC East where you got a chance to still do something special. But obviously every game is like a playoff game. We don't have, obviously, much margin for error. Okay, now that I get that out of the way, and if something does come up like that in the future, I'd appreciate before somebody, you know, kind of goes into their opinion of that, if you guys would ever give me a call, if you're going to write something like that, especially that strong, I'd appreciate at least a text or at least a chance to return a phone call to explain before somebody attacks like that. Okay.
Well, I was just going to ask, did you feel that you didn't express it clearly enough, or did you feel that it was just taken out of context?
Well, obviously it was taken, I mean, from my perspective. I'm not saying I did a great job of explaining. I was just explaining it right now. And when you talk about five games in the NFC East and two in the AFC, we're just starting our NFC East tour. To think that we would play young players or suggest that we play young players and the season was over with is completely ludicrous.
Do you plan to make any changes to your staff during the bye?
No. No, there will be no changes.
Mike, can we get an update on Santana Moss?
He had a concussion. You know, he's going to go through the protocol of that just like everybody else has, and we'll see in time.
Mike, do you have any reaction to the league admitting today that there was a mistake made on the inadvertent whistle on the touchdown that the Panthers got?
Oh, they had to. They had to admit that even if they didn't want to. When you take a look at the film. I didn't know it was that bad until I looked at the film. But, yeah, that was an obvious mistake.
Mike, you mentioned not making a coaching change this week or potentially during the season. How difficult, when that decision comes up, when that's something that you decide is worthy in your experience, how difficult of a decision is that to make? And maybe why do you or why do you not look at that as a reasonable option for some of the struggles you might have?
First of all, I'm not even going to go even talk in that direction. My focus is one thing, and that's Philly, getting ready for them. We'll do everything we can, as I said before, to evaluate the things that we've done right and wrong. We'll study the personnel, try to make the right changes that give us the best chance to win. And we got a number of players that have gained experience over the last 7, 8, 9 weeks. Some guys playing more than others, and that'll be our focus, is try to do the best job we can to win each game.
Mike, after losing three in a row and being 3-6 in year three, fair or not, do you worry at all that guys could start to lose faith in the direction when the results that they're working toward aren't coming?
Well, I hope not. If they are, then I'd be disappointed. I think if you take a look at what we've done, that you can always go back to winning and losing. I said that's the bottom line. You know, I think I've told you a long time ago it was going to take a while, and I like the direction we're going, both on offense and defense. I know there's no excuses in this job. You understand that. But I thought we made some strides last year on defense. But when you got seven guys that would be dressing, that's not dressing. It's not like it's over, but you got to make some changes. You know, during the season, it's not what we were a year ago. But these guys are gaining some experience. I think we got a chance to get a couple guys back, and some of the other guys that have been playing, I think, are getting better. So it gives you a chance. Same thing on offense. You know, we got a chance to make some strides. I think what we're doing right now is pretty impressive, even though each game's not perfect. And we talked last week, you know, quite disappointed in our outing against Pittsburgh, you know, 250-something yards. And, you know, you take a look at it and you say, man, we had 10 drops. We had a chance to do some things. But you either get it done or you don't. Then you look at the Giants and they say, well, they had 182 yards. They had a pretty rough day, too. You know, Pittsburgh's not too bad, so especially with a young football team. And so what you keep on doing is you keep on getting better. And that's the only thing I know to do.
A quarterback, and that the personnel at some skill positions is younger, and you've got some guys who could be pieces. But 14-27 midway through year three, you mentioned the record. Do you use the record as the main metric for the direction of the program, or do you use the peripheral kind of other areas?
Well, you're going to have to ask that. You will have to ask Dan Snyder that. If he feels like this team's going in the right direction, then you ask him, not me. I know I'm going in the right direction.
Mike, after looking at the film, maybe talking to Robert, was there any way to tell maybe some of the higher throws or off-target throws, maybe due to the ribs or anything that you saw there in connection to the injury?
You know, quarterbacks aren't going to tell you. Even obviously, you got a shot at halftime to alleviate some of the pain, so I'm sure there was he was uncomfortable. I thought. You know, any time you look at a game, you go back and you look at your mistakes and you review them and try not to make them again. But, you know, that's part of the growing process that we've talked about, and it'll continue to get better and better.
Mike, did you feel the need to explain to your players the way you explained to us, the way those comments came out last night?
Oh, I definitely will. Anytime somebody writes something like that, it goes national. It doesn't matter if somebody makes it up. You can make it up, it's still going national because somebody, obviously, it's going to put it out there. And so what you need to do is, you know, stop it right away and tell your team what you meant or what you intended to say, even though it might not have been crystal clear. I think everybody knows me since I've been here. It doesn't matter what your record is. We're going to play to win every game. It doesn't matter who's out there, who's not.
Mike, you mentioned the owner. Has he given you any assurances that he believes that it's going in the right direction?
You'll talk to him. I don't talk about that during the season. If you want to talk to him, then give him a call. Ask him.
Mike, how often do you meet with Dan throughout the season?
Well, I meet with him, yeah. I meet with him.
How long?
Well, we have tea on Thursday. I don't know.
Mike, you look back, one of the issues yesterday, penalties. How do you try to enforce a discipline? How do you try to address that situation? Because it's not just one area, it's a lot of different penalties that are existing.
Yeah, it's really kind of, you know, it's disheartening because you work on that, and that's always been a phase that we've been pretty good at. But we'll get better at it. I know we will. You know, we've got a lot of guys working together for the first time. But when you have, on offense, you've got eight different guys, you make one penalty, that looks pretty bad. Same thing on defense, except one guy had two. And, you know, you have a few guys there, and all of a sudden you got 13 penalties. Then you take a look at some of these other teams that won yesterday, and you said, hey, you had to overcome those penalties. A lot of teams that won with more yards than that. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are going to be good and bad in a game, but you got to find a way to win. You got to overcome those mistakes, and obviously we didn't overcome them.
Mike, when you look at the last two games, your offense had started off so strong, and then the last two games, just one touchdown. What do you attribute the struggles, the kind of the regression on offense?
Well, I was kind of teasing you before. You know, you take a look at the Giants game, you take a look at Pittsburgh game. I felt good about Pittsburgh, probably as good as any game I've gone against Pittsburgh since I've been coaching. That's been a lot of years. I thought we had one of the better plans against them, but we couldn't overcome a couple of our mistakes. So I don't look at that as a negative. Yesterday, I take a look at two drives in the first half. With less than a minute, we got the ball to the 5-yard line. Obviously, it turned out to be 3 points. When you can have two drives and a half, you're controlling the clock, you're controlling the tempo. Unfortunately, we only came out with 3 points, and we should have had at least minimum 10. And so those are the things that are disappointing, especially the first drive. Started out on the -5, and obviously a penalty stopped us. So there's some good things. Even in the third quarter, we had that it looked like it was complete with Logan Paulson. That stopped the drive right there, and we couldn't overcome that one. And the next drive, we go for 80 yards. And so, there's some good. Good with moving the football, doing those type of things, but you got to be able to close the deal. And that's what I'm disappointed, that we can't close the deal and we're stopping ourselves. But we're doing some good things, which is always a positive in the National Football League.
Mike, so often players take their cue from the coach. Yesterday you talked about how statistically, and even when you're talking about the must-win, how statistically, yes, technically you'd still be alive, but, realistically, it's not likely. Then today you're saying that, okay, we'll treat every game from here on out as a playoff game. Is it important
for the
playoff?
Well, you have to. There's no choice, because if you don't, there's only three teams since 90 that have been in the playoffs at 3-6. So you understand those stats. The odds may not be in your favor, but you have a chance, to finish, with whatever it is. If you run it off, or if you get 9, whatever it may be. But you got to play your best football now, because you got to treat each game like a playoff game, because you're better.
Mike, what's your optimism level like that you'll get Pierre or Brandon Merriweather back after the bye?
I really don't know. I don't know. I can't tell you. I feel a little bit better about Brandon than I do Pierre right now. For some reason, it's one of those freak injuries. You can't understand why. Doctors can't explain it, but it hurts. And enough where he can't push off and get to where he was before. So, it's discouraging and disheartening, but, he's dealing with it, and I know one thing, when he can play, he'll play.
Mike, at the end of last season, you and Kyle both talked about the need to add playmakers on the offensive side of the ball, and you obviously did that in the offseason. As you're evaluating the defense right now, is that a similar line of thinking you can apply to that side of the ball, that there's a shortage of playmakers?
You always want to get better, but any time that we had a plan going into free agency, and we had a couple safeties, and we felt pretty good going in. I thought we made some strides from last year helping us into safety, and couple at the corner position, but obviously they're not out there now. But we'll always address our weaknesses and our needs in the offseason as much as we can, and go from there.
As far as that free agency plan goes, when you get to a point like this in the season, how much do you look back at the salary cap penalty and think what could have been if they hadn't imposed that on you?
Well, I mean, Steven, obviously that's very strong. You're talking about $36 million. And you find out 10 minutes before your free agency starts. You plan something for 2.5 years, and you find out 10 minutes, through the newspaper that you just got hit with $36 million. So, yeah, it is a wake-up call.
Coach, from your talk this morning with the guys in trying to move forward, trying to stay positive, did you get a sense from talking with the guys that, yes, the bye week could not have come at a better time, but actually a little good time off or good motivation thing from everything that happened post-game? Did you get a good, strong sense from the guys that are looking forward to the break and now pushing forward, try to turn this around?
I think everybody looks forward to the break, this time of year, especially when you've been going, 9-10 weeks for everybody. It's, I think it's a well-deserved rest, but I haven't talked to our football team yet. I'll talk to them tomorrow.
Mike, you've talked about how disappointed you are in the rash of penalties. As the coach, I mean, besides pointing out the mistakes on film, what kind of things can you do to, encourage the players to, be more under control and stop making those?
That's a good question. That's a good question. And we try to practice at game speed all the time. And usually when you practice at game speed, usually it carries over to limited penalties. This year, for some reason, has not gone like it has in the past for me. So we'll keep on working on those little things, and hopefully as a group we can improve. Yeah. Slash whips. I don't, you know. Hey, these are grown men, and, you know, they practice at a very high level. I thought it was quite unusual to have that many penalties in the game, especially with the guys that had them. You know, a couple offsides, you get a little bit of block in the back, you got, you know, two holding penalties, and take a look at, you know, defense, you got late hit. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you've got to be more disciplined. Can't make those mistakes. And if you do, a lot of times it's going to cost you.
We're all in touch with the fans a lot through Twitter and other means. Uh-huh. One of the things that I keep on hearing is, why is it, you know, in a lot of places you can see a new coach comes in, 1 year, 2 years, they're in the playoffs. Why is it taking so long here? What can you tell the fans to keep up their hope and tell them to keep up their support?
Well, I thought you could tell me even better than I could tell you, because you've been here longer than me. But when I first came here, as I said, that, you know, we were an older football team. We didn't have a lot of draft choices with players. And when you don't have a lot of players and you don't have depth, you know, through the draft, and you cut all those old players, that means you're starting over again. And that's what we did. We started over again, offense, defense. You take a look at offense, there's not one player that was here 2 years ago. And not any of the players that we cut got picked up by other teams. And there was well over $100 million there. So when you let go well over $100 million and none of those players are picked up by any teams on offense and defense, that means you've gotten a little bit old. And so we've tried to do it through draft and free agency, get a lot younger, get the right players. And, you know, I see some tremendous strides. Hopefully it's not only me. Hopefully it's Dan as well.
Mike, the last play of the game, Robert throws that pass out to Brandon in the flat, and Brandon does his thing where he's dancing around. What do
say
you
again?
Think if, with Banks, the last play of the game? What are you thinking when you see Brandon there? Is he just unaware of the situation? I mean, is that something that's kind of been holding him back?
Well, what happened with Brandon, we got in a situation right there where Alfred had a little sore shoulder. We went with a screen, and we went the wrong way on the screen. And so we thought Brandon, of all the guys, had a chance to go the distance, and we went to screen the wrong way. So you go the wrong way on the screen, it's going to look pretty silly, and that's what happened.
Mike, I've been doing this a while, and I guess probably too long, but I've heard the speech you gave yesterday probably a dozen times in my covering this team, usually in December,
which
not
speech?
November. Sorry?
Which speech?
The one that you just quoted yourself as you entered the room today. And it's usually in December and not November. I've never known it to be misinterpreted either. I guess what I'm trying to say, are you standing by your statement from yesterday, or are you
What was my statement yesterday?
About the guys playing for, you know, you're using the rest of the season as evaluation period.
I never said that. I never said that. Never even close to said that. I just told you what I said.
Right.
I said, what happens when you lose a game like we did yesterday, you're going to find which guys really step up now the remainder of seven games. You'll find out if you got guys that are going to give everything. I don't care if they're a five-year player, a 10-year player, a first-year player. When your backs are against the wall, how do you stand up with adversity? And I would never say that we're going to play young players. I never said that any time since I've been here. We're going to play young players. We're always going to play the people that give us the best chance to win. That's what we're going to do. Never changed. Never have wavered. But somebody gets a quote. I'm not saying I gave the perfect quote. And I'm not saying, hey, you cannot, you know, you're looking at that, there's a bunch of different directions you could go. The only thing I was disappointed, that if I got somewhat of a relationship with somebody, that at least give me the courtesy and say, hey, what did you mean by this? Instead of just going one direction and saying, hey, this is, you know, and I was never contacted by anybody, you know, last evening.
Well, as I say, it's a speech that we've heard before without problems of interpretation before. So it's the first time, I guess.
I'm not sure what that meant, but that's fine.